Hello everybody and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event between Belal Muhammad and Vicente Luque. Now this is definitely flying under the radar, especially because UFC 273, there were so many fights to look forward to, which absolutely delivered, obviously. You know, they were great fights. But the event that follows a pay-per-view, often the UFC will miss a week, you know, or they'll miss one either before or after because they don't want events to be overshadowed. And that's definitely what's happening here. Because this is not only is it a really interesting matchup based on their styles and their skill, but it's also a rematch from 2016, November 2016. And the first one, Vicente Luque won by knockout in the first round. And it's Belal Muhammad's only knockout loss on his record. He's got a couple of decision losses on his record, but that was a first-round knockout loss. And that definitely has changed him as a fighter and his approach to things, which I'll get into in a little while. So quick tale of the tape. So Vicente Luque, 21-7-1. Belal Muhammad, 23-1, no contest. Slightly longer average fight time for Belal Muhammad, but that is down to their finishing rates, which I'll cover in a moment. They're both 5'11", but Vicente Luque's got a 3-inch reach advantage. And they're both listed as orthodox fighters, but they both switch a lot, which is another reason why I like this. And I think they switch for different reasons. Belal Muhammad has got very, very good footwork on the outside, switching and moving and changing his stance and his direction and then dropping in with a strike and moving off. That's a different version of Belal Muhammad to what Vicente Luque saw the first time. He was a little bit more stationary the last time. He was a bit more wind up with his techniques. He's far more subtle in his movements now. Vicente Luque, on the other hand, he's an excellent striker, but has different weapons off different sides. If he's standing orthodox, he's looking for his power right and his counter left hook. If he's standing southpaw, he's looking for his left kick. I think he's like me. I think he's right-handed and left-footed. So you do have a good lead kick, but obviously if you want your power kick, you need to then switch your stance and open that option up, which is good and it suits modern MMA. And I think it suits this fight as well because I do expect Vicente Luque to be on the front foot. Slightly higher striking output by Vicente Luque, more strikes absorbed per minute, and a slightly lower striking defense. They're grappling statistics are quite interesting as well. Belal Muhammad with a 91% takedown defense, which is you know pretty outstanding. 33% takedown accuracy, but that is something that was affected a lot by his earlier fights where he was, you know, 10, 15, 20% success rate in his takedowns. If you look at the Wonderboy Thompson, I think it was 7 out of 9 takedowns that he landed. His wrestling has improved, considerably. Especially since the last time he fought Vicente Luque, which I do think opens up a few other options for him. So, if I'm Belal Muhammad in this one, my first thought is that I'm not going to try and outgun Vicente Luque. This takes me back to their finishing statistics. So, Belal Muhammad, of 20 wins, he has 4 by knockout and 1 by submission and 15 by decision. That one submission was a rear naked choke. But we have seen him in rear naked choke positions in recent fights, just like Wonderboy, but he's not getting finishes from there. Same thing with knockouts. I mean, 4 out of 20 is, you know, it's a fairly low statistic, and 15 decisions, which it puts a few questions in my mind when it comes to this being a 5-round fight, because certainly in the UFC, Belal Muhammad's not had a 5-round fight. He was lined up for a 5-rounder against Leon Edwards, but that obviously was ended in you know 20 seconds into the second round. So I don't know. The things I'm going to suggest for Belal Muhammad's game plan, the things that I think he should want to try and achieve in this fight, will require him to put an element of effort and energy into his game plan, into his attack, because he's outgunned, because Vicente Luque is a much stronger finisher. Belal Muhammad's going to have to work harder and try and outpoint him. And this is a 5-rounder, so he's got to outpoint him for an additional 10 minutes, which puts him at risk for an additional 10 minutes to a power puncher like Vicente Luque, who of 21 wins has won 11 by knockout. So you're looking at, you know, your 50% knockout ratio. He's also submitted 8 people. So you've got 19 finishes out of 21 fights there and only 2 by decision. So, of course, the longer this one goes, the more you're thinking it favours Bilal Muhammad. But he's going to have to put himself in the firing line several times. And this is where it's risky, especially because he's got a previous experience against Vicente Luque, and he knows that he's got one-punch knockout power. I mean, that was a lovely counter left hook. In fact, let's have a quick look at it now. For Bilal Muhammad, he's kind of got to play... He's got to do a little bit like Volkanovski against Korean Zombie, because Zombie's going to stand there and wait to try and counter you. And I'm not saying it's the same kind of fight, because I think that the complexities of Vicente Luque's striking game are much greater than the Korean Zombie. Although he's very effective at certain things, Vicente Luque can chain together beautiful combinations using all skills of Muay Thai. So it's not necessarily the first, second, third shot he's going to catch you with. It might be the fourth or fifth, and he might have planned that fourth or fifth shot. So there's a risk constantly every time Bilal Muhammad tries to engage here, which is what he found out in the first fight. So what you'll see here is Bilal Muhammad. So he spends quite a bit of time outside on the edge here, which is probably going to be a fairly consistent thing for him in this fight coming up. Now, as he steps in here, we get a glimpse, and we're, a minute into the first round. We get a glimpse of what Vicente Luque's plan is. As Bilal Muhammad drops in, he goes short right hand, and then left hook counter, And you can see that left hook just whiz over the shoulder of Bilal Muhammad as he's pulling away from it. And then Muhammad returns with a left hook of his own, which misses. But then as he circles here, he puts himself in the same position. And this is what I was talking about with Vicente Luque switching. Very, very subtle here. Little switch of his stance to keep the pressure on. He feints the body kick there, which pushes Bilal Muhammad back up against the fence a bit more. And then he throws the kick, but then switches back to orthodox. Very, very fluid. But you can see he was purposeful in his switching of his stance. And that's something Muhammad was already aware of then, and he's definitely going to be aware of now. But then in this next exchange, you'll see... So what Bilal Muhammad does is he slips a punch and tries to counter. And what you'll see is the right hand from Bilal Muhammad come, and then he throws a long hook, and then he's going to follow it with a kick. So you see his lead hand punch out here. We're looking at this hand. He kind of punches it out towards Bilal Muhammad, but at the same time, he's posturing this kick as if he's going to follow the kick behind the hand. It looks to me like he was going cross and then throwing his lead hand out there as a smoke screen to disguise the kick. But unfortunately for him, there's a counter hook waiting for him after the right hand goes out. And there it is. And it just glances right across the chin of him. You see him go to lift the kick up behind his lead hand. There's the leg lifting, but he's already unconscious on the way down. So he never gets to express the kick. You see it a bit better here. So he's going, the right hand's coming around the side, and then he's going to fire out the lead hand. Right hand, lead hand, kicks to follow. But watch the counter left hook of Vicente Luque on the inside. It's a lovely punch, and you can see that it's the same one he tried to land a little earlier. Covers... Drops his weight back, circles that hand out, and then catches Bilal Muhammad right across the side of the face. Lovely technique. I mean, look at that. Like, lead legs turned in, up on his toes. You can't see it very well, but his rear hand's up guarding as well. I mean, you know, if you're looking for textbook left hooks, there it is. And even if the kick was expressed, he's still covered. He's still got that hand up. You can still see his rear hand is up as well. It was a lovely technique. And this is what I was talking about with Bilal Muhammad, having to be aware that every time he steps into trade, he's going to be outpowered, most likely, and he's also going to be vulnerable for these counter punches, these counter shots of Vicente Luque. So the interesting thing is, what impression does that leave with Bilal Muhammad, and what does he do in this upcoming fight? How does he approach Vicente Luque again? And I think we've seen some definite developments in Bilal Muhammad's game. I think, first of all, as I said, I think his footwork's massively improved. I also think his offensive and defensive wrestling has improved immensely. You know, depending on what Vicente Luque decides to do in this fight, Bilal Muhammad's going to be able to compete with him everywhere. I just feel like he might be slightly outgunned, but that might run out as the fight goes on. You know, the deeper it gets, we might see Bilal Muhammad with an incredible gas tank in the fifth round, just continually working over Vicente Luque, who's not managed to land the power punches or finish the Darce chokes to get the fight over. And Bilal Muhammad's conditioning will come through because he looks very strong. He looks in great shape. And he doesn't seem to slow down. I mean, you know, he dominated Wonderboy. And the other statistic I wanted to look at. So Wonderboy was 7 takedowns of 9 that he scored. Against Damian Maia, he defended 20 of 21 takedown attempts in 15 minutes. Like, that's an incredible pace. That shows how good his conditioning is. And, you know, going back to what he's going to need to do in this fight, this is where his footwork needs to come into play and the growth as a martial artist needs to show from their first encounter. Because the last thing you want to do is be committing to shots and allowing Vicente Luque to set you up for easy counters. What we want to see from Bilal Muhammad is that constant changing of angle and changing of direction. Like, the best example for me was against Lyman Good, and you'll see here how he constantly drifts back and forth. So there's a stance switch and then a juke, and he bounces off his lead leg and bounces back. Low leg kick, circles, and he's going to juke with a jab and then go straight back. And what I'm watching in this moment here is, I mean, I've watched it several times, as you can imagine. I'm watching the footwork of Bilal Muhammad, but I'm also watching the confusion and the lack of wanting to commit from Lyman Good. Like, you can see every now and then he's like, oh, he's going to level change, and then he doesn't, and he throws a jab and he's not there. And this is ideal for someone like Vicente Luque, who does have that nice little marching Muay Thai stance. And you know, if he's in orthodox stance, he's most likely going to be looking for boxing combinations and low kicks. If he switches to southpaw, you know he's going to start setting you up for that left body kick. So there are certain things that Bilal Muhammad can bank on and can read and can maybe, you know, force him to do and then counter, or at least set him up for takedowns. Like, this footwork here against Lyman Good, it was just really nice. It's probably the best. I'll play it slowed so you can see it. It's probably the best example of his footwork, and this is the beginning of the second round. And sometimes if you're looking for the best version of someone, like what their corner team wanted them to do, what their game plan was, watch them for the first 15 or 30 seconds of the first round, because that's when you see them, A, fresh, and B, freshly downloaded new information from their coaches. So he's moving and he jukes, and just watch Lyman Good here. Like, everything he does, he looks like he's a step behind. He looks like he's enthusiastic, but everything looks like he's chasing Bilal Muhammad, misses. Muhammad circles, bounces back, little level change. Is he level changing? Is he, like, look at that. I mean, just watch Lyman Good here. He's not sure whether to jab or sprawl. Oh, is he jabbing? Is he level changing? He's not sure, but he's not there now. And now Bilal Muhammad's found some space. And you can see, like, Lyman Good kind of walking down, like, okay, fair enough. But the same thing continues. Bilal Muhammad looks through his opponents, and this is something that I think is very valuable to him, especially in a rematch against someone that's already stopped him. Being able to just kind of be playful and see the person as a body. Look at that little dart across there. So this is, again, this is the benefit of switching stance. So, orthodox, stings him with a jab, drifts a little southpaw pull, plants his weight on his back leg, and then darts straight across with a cross from the same hand. And then he's off again. Lovely movement, his opponent misses. A little juke, look, a little back and forth. Send him one way, and then go the other. Like, it always puts his opponent a few steps behind. And what it does is it then starts to open up his opportunities to feint. Like, look at that. Like, he steps hard with a feint, and look at the read he gets. He goes, oh, he's dipping his head. I'll give him that same feint again, then I'll come up underneath and catch him with an uppercut. Like, watch that together. You've got to piece these things together when you're watching them in the fights to see what they're trying to plan. Little touch, sees his head dip there. Hup, bang, comes up with the uppercut. Sees the opportunity and catches him. And then now he's set him up for the uppercut. The next thing he can do is dip again. Lyman Good's now expecting the uppercut. And then he gets taken down. And he does scramble back to his feet, but this goes back to the wrestling of Bilal Muhammad. Like what we saw in the Wonderboy fight were several different takedown attempts, different opportunities where he had to hustle and make do with the circumstance, with the situation that he found himself in. Like this was not an ideal takedown. You can see what Wonderboy's trying to do is he's letting Bilal Muhammad come in, then he's doing that little bounce off straight right that he does. That's such a beautiful punch of his. He's got a couple of stoppages with it. You can see here how I think it's Jake Ellenberger, he catches with this. You can see Wonderboy's waiting for him to come in. And as Bilal Muhammad commits forward, you're going to see Wonderboy, he's going to dart off to this side. And then the right hand is going to fire back across, trying to catch the chin across the side. But Bilal Muhammad is baiting him here. He throws a wild hook. And then as the counterpunch comes out, there you can see the counterpunch being postured. Bilal Muhammad's level changing. And he's taken down from a distance here. This is not ideal. But what I like about him is his awareness of his position in the octagon. He's able to then circle straight back into the fence to make his takedown much easier. This is not ideal. He's on his knees, but then he drives forward and he builds up and he takes this very important step across here, which then puts his opponent back facing the fence, circles them back and makes his life a lot easier with good decision making. Step across, circle, and then he's into the fence and then a pinch. And a pull, and he's down. Another one here, turning him off the fence. And like I said, seven of nine takedowns. You can, and it's not like Wonderboy doesn't have good takedown offense. Watch this little move here. So he's gonna actually slide out this side, and his intention is to drag the arm of Wonderboy across his body. But Wonderboy does a decent job of defending, so he has to adapt. Watch, he comes out this side. You can see the arm come free of Wonderboy. Is the arm. It's coming free of Wonderboy. Bilal Muhammad tries to pull it across. You can just about on the screen see him reaching across with his hand here. This is what we're looking at. He's reaching across to try and grab the tricep of Wonderboy so he can pull it across and then he can take his back. But Wonderboy, as I said, he's got good takedown offense, so he circles and Muhammad then drops into a double leg, which is defended well by Wonderboy. As you can see, he's got this hook here, which is stopping him. Bilal Muhammad adjusts again. Forces his way to a single leg, picks a single leg up, tries to run the pipe. Wonderboy, great balance. So he then sweeps it out to the side and lifts it high. And even still, Wonderboy's hands on the floor. I mean, it's like trying to take down the dining room table. It's impressive how he gets something to the floor. But the hustle was there, you know. One more here, look. A good build-up, strong build-up here. Gets his hands together, and as he lifts him, watch how he clears his hips. Right now, it's front of Wonderboy's hips are to the stomach of Bilal Muhammad, but watch how he sweeps him to the side, clears his neck, gets his head out clear, safe, and lands Wonderboy down, and then immediately this shoulder's pressuring down into the back of Wonderboy. So he stays down, he stays on his back. Circles around. And then as Wonderboy scrambles, you can see the adjustment of the arm. The right arm of Bilal Muhammad goes over the shoulder. And then he chases him, hooks in, waits on him, flattens him out, and then ground and pound. Like, this is a facet to Bilal Muhammad's game. I'm not saying he's gonna submit Vicente Luque. I think that would be incredibly difficult for him to do. But what I am saying is that he could keep this constant pace on him of moving side to side, darting into range, moving out, darting into range, constantly changing his stance and his line of attack. And then once he's started getting Vicente Luque chasing him left and right and back and forth, then he can start level changing, adding his uppercuts and adding his takedowns in. Keeping this a very, very mixed martial arts fight and constantly keeping the pace rolling. Don't let Vicente Luque settle into a steady Muay Thai pace where he can start picking his shots and doing some real damage. Whenever you've got a finisher, you need to smother them and make them work. And you compare these two guys, 15 decisions out of 20 fights for Bilal Muhammad compared to 2 decisions out of 21 fights for Vicente Luque. It's quite clear which one of these guys is the finisher. So with that in mind, Bilal Muhammad not only has to be constant in his attack and constantly varying it from striking to grappling, but also be very aware of what's coming back. This was very evident in, the Tyron Woodley fight was a good example, because this one and that one and the Michael Chiesa fight both ended in a DAS, but they were very, very different. So against Tyron Woodley, it was Woodley actually posturing a rear uppercut like Bilal Muhammad throws, and Vicente Luque came over the top and cracked him with a right hand, and you see Woodley's kind of rocked and, you know, a little bit dazed, and then, you know, the subsequent scramble ends up with him getting caught in a Darce choke. The Darce choke against Michael Chiesa was initiated by Chiesa. He was the one that went for the takedown. Check it out. This was a really lovely scramble, this was. And, you know, and I mean, Chiesa's a handful on the floor. Times that perfectly. There's the overhand left coming. Times it perfectly. Drives him to the floor. Clears the legs, just like Bilal Muhammad does, but on the opposite side. And then Chiesa is able to work to the back of Vicente Luque. Again, you know, something that we've seen Bilal Muhammad do really well, especially in these chaotic scrambles. You know, if he changes the pace of the fight and he's able to rush a takedown and scramble to the back, Vicente Luque might find himself in one of these situations. And, you know, you're watching this fight and you're thinking, oh, you know, Chiesa's going to sub him here. This is lethal. This is dangerous. But then in this scramble, Vicente Luque is able to show his his pedigree, you know, how difficult it is to submit him. I mean, that's palm to palm across his face. It's very uncomfortable. It's not gonna choke him out, but there's pressure on him here. But what you're also noticing is that Chiesa's only got one hook controlled. The other leg, this bottom leg of Vicente Luque is clear. So what you're gonna see him do now, instead of laying on his side with his back facing the fence with Chiesa behind him, he's now gonna start laying on the canvas and scraping Chiesa off. Like, imagine he's got a piece of bubblegum stuck to one of his shoulder blades and he's gonna try and scrape it off on the mat. That's exactly what he's doing here. And it forces Chiesa to scramble to a different position. Look, you see how he turns his hips to the ceiling. So we've got hips facing this way. And then he's going to turn, and now hips are facing this way. It's a very subtle thing, but it completely changes the attack of Chiesa, who's still got a good clamp on that neck, but he's now not able to control the rest of the body, which means that in a moment you're going to watch this grip. He's going to release it because he knows it's no use to him. Here it goes, and he's going to now try and scramble to the top position. Now, this is a bit of a tactical error here because Vicente Luque, and this is just a coaching point, you know, Vicente Luque is an excellent fighter. This may have just been he may have seen this in a different way, but in hindsight, what we can see he needed to do was to drop this elbow point to the mat. If he was able to get this down past the waist of Chiesa, then the back attack has gone entirely. Of course, there is a risk he doesn't take top position, but he does find himself in half guard bottom. This is quite a common scramble that this is in MMA. And what Luque does is he actually sits up, which almost gives his back again. I mean, if you do that against Damian Maia, you might have just signed your own death certificate. Because you can see Chiesa almost take his back again. And Vicente Luque is able to I mean, he's very lucky here. He's able to drop into a position where he can start turning to his knees. And Chiesa, this is the point where Chiesa is now having to start adapting because he's realizing he's losing control of his attack. He's losing control of the opponent. So he starts to, it's like something slipping through his hands. You know, first of all, he had the whole back and now he's just clamped onto the upper body. He's got almost like a triangle around the body look, around the upper body. But at the same time, there's not a massive risk here because this arm of Vicente Luque is inside. If that wasn't there, then there's a triangle for sure. And what you would see is Chiesa bring this leg up and lock it with this one, and then your triangle's finished. And even in an uncomfortable position like that up against the fence, I'm sure he would have still been able to finish it. But watch this. This is lovely work. So you can see Chiesa's now switched his grip. He's got this figure four grip. So he's got this figure four grip here underneath the arm of Chiesa, and he's controlling that. So now what's going to happen is as Chiesa scrambles, he's going to try and take the armbar. And Luque stays very, very close to him, very close to him, pulls out. But not only does he escape the position that he's dangerous, he's at danger in, but he then reverses it. This is so slick. He then reverses it on Chiesa. So you're going to see him get his head out clear here, and then he's going to pull Chiesa towards him, wraps around the neck, You're going to see his arm pop through in a minute and grasp his bicep. There it is. And then the other arm comes out from underneath Chiesa and locks over his shoulder. And now he's into a Das choke. Like, to get that from the position that he was in, like, a few minutes earlier he was at risk, or a few seconds earlier he was at risk of being triangled. But he drives up, he stays tight to Chiesa, pulls himself out, clears his arm, but then stays pressuring on top as Chiesa goes to sit up. And as he sits up, he wraps the neck, adjusts the Das choke, and then he rolls Chiesa over. And this is a lovely finish as well. We'll just watch it through slow-mo. So you can see Chiesa trying to bridge here, and that's putting a lot of pressure on this grip of Vicente Luque. But as Luque drives back, he bosses Chiesa back over onto his side, and then you'll see him driving his hips in, and it's not an ideal position, this. Ideally, what he wants is to use this leg and hook around so he can really be compressive with the neck of Chiesa. As you see, the head of Chiesa is actually on the side, and really what he wants, if you watch the Korean Zombie do this to Poirier, he's actually got his chest on the top of his opponent's head so he can drive his chin down. This is not an ideal position, but what this does show you is the squeeze that Vicente Luque's got. I mean, that's a hell of a squeeze. And the Woodley position was very similar to this as well. This is not an ideal finishing position, but it does show that he's got an incredible squeezing power. So at any point, Bilal Muhammad leaves his neck open in a scramble, there is this risk. But I will add one thing to this risk. This is the downside to being a devastating finisher that finds himself in the fourth round with no finish. Is if he's found a couple of these Das chokes and been very, very close to finishing a couple of times, he may have squeezed the life out of Bilal Muhammad, who's incredibly tough and has never been submitted. So he might find himself wasting a lot of energy on a person that he's not going to be able to submit. I mean, adversely, he might squeeze it and get a first round Das choke, and that's very likely. I think that would be his sixth if he wins by Das choke, three in a row, which would be incredible. But he may also waste a lot of energy, because this is not an ideal finish, as the Tyron Woodley wasn't either. There are easier, more economical ways to do a Das choke, and this is a very, very energy-consuming way of doing it. So if Bilal Muhammad's smart, he's been working a lot on Das choke escapes. He's been working a lot on holding and being patient in these positions. Because, you know, I mean, it's kind of a pick your poison if you're Bilal Muhammad. Like, do you want to stand and trade with him and risk getting caught with one of those single shot knockout punches? Or do you want to be on the ground with him scrambling and rolling around and trying to stay out of one of these submissions? There's a value to choosing one or the other. It doesn't matter which. You know, the danger of getting caught with one of those shots is they come out of nowhere. A Das choke, you have a kinesthetic awareness of where the body is and what's at risk. So if Muhammad feels like he's confident enough to put himself in that at that point, it'll be easier to avoid lethal fight finishing situations on the ground than it will be on the feet, because they will come out of nowhere. As I said, you know, they know each other very well, these guys. They faced off, it was, what, six years ago now? Five and a half. They've both improved dramatically. Vicente Luque is, you know, he's on a four-fight win streak. He stopped everybody. He's got Nico Price was a doctor stoppage. Then he stopped Randy Brown with that knee and the subsequent punches to follow. Knocked Tyron Woodley down and darced him, and then countered a submission attack of Michael Chiesa and darced him as well. But then on the flip side, you've got Bilal Muhammad, who, you know, he's on an equally as impressive streak. He's just not finishing as many people. You know, what's that one? That's six fight win streak, not including the no contest against Leon Edwards. Only one stoppage though, Rear Naked Choke over Takashi Sato. So, you know, decision wins over Maya and stuff in 20 of 21 takedowns is very impressive. It shows conditioning, it shows wrestling defense. His striking was good in that as well, never overextending himself. And then against someone like Wonderboy, who's an excellent striker, he was able to take him down 7 times out of 9 attempts, drown him on the floor, beat him up, and keep himself safe. You know, this is a very different fight than both of those. but he's shown skills in both of those fights that are going to be valuable against Vicente Luque. Vicente Luque is a finisher, though, and this is what makes it so interesting for me. Should be a good one. Enjoy it, and I'll catch you next time.